Hello, this is Brett Lonsdale, and I'm here with Rob Foster and Mark Rockley. How you doing, Rob?
Hey, great, Brett. You're giving me a great lesson in English folklore today. So this is, I feel really kind of honored to get this lesson. So why don't you tell everybody where you're at or where you have been?
Yeah, absolutely. So right now I'm at Centre Parks, which is in Sherwood Forest, Nottinghamshire. I guess some Americans may have heard of Sherwood Forest from certain movies around Robin Hood. And this is where it all took place.
I cannot believe this is a real thing. This is just amazing, and I'm going to have to go check this out next time I'm over.
Yeah. First Dogpatch USA and now Sherwood Forest. I mean, I know. Some of the listeners will get the Dogpatch reference. I'm doing great. I was just thinking about how every time I hear our intro song, I'm wondering how many people that listen to our podcast do air guitar when they listen to it.
I do every single time.
Oh, Rob definitely had me doing air guitar last week.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess since Ignite's over, and we're all kind of back and rested up, and I'm off my vacation, so like Brett's on his vacation, one of the questions that I guess we've been really pondering as a group here, as a podcasting group is. Is BCS dead? Formerly known as BDC, as me and Mark really argued over before you joined the call. but that's a question because I know you do a lot with BCS, Brett, and you and I have both spoken on the topic, and you do a lot more speaking on that than I do. What's the story there? I mean, what's going on, and what are you seeing there?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, business connectivity services, for those who don't know what it is, as you said, it started life back in SharePoint 2007, Moss Enterprise actually, under the name of Business Data Catalog, so BDC, and a lot of people still know it as that. The business data connectivity of BDC still exists today as an acronym, so that's part of business connectivity services. And that's the part that allows you to connect to all the different external data sources and bring that data into SharePoint, or at least link to the data, I should say, from SharePoint. So business connectivity services has been around for 10 years in one form or another. And I think what's leading to some of the questions, you know, there's certain things like SharePoint Designer has not been around since 2013 properly, although you can still use it with SharePoint 2016 and SharePoint Online. That was the tool that many people use to create an external content type, your connection to the to Microsoft SQL, or you would use Visual Studio or whatever to build connections. And yeah, BCS was quite a big thing in its day, and allowed you to display data in SharePoint through different web parts. It allowed you to work with SharePoint external lists in order to view and manipulate external data. And you could do all sorts of things with it, such as searching the data, looking it up from lists and libraries from an external data column, and so on and so forth. So it was a really, really powerful tool in its day. But with the tool not being updated, that allows you to build an external content type, and also other things coming out of the woodwork, such as Power BI and now also Power Apps. People can use Power Apps to also connect to external data as well. So really that begs the question, what's happening with business connectivity services? Is that something that's going to be continued to be developed or not? And I guess the other part to point out is it hasn't really changed. It hasn't really been updated a great deal since SharePoint 2013 either. Yes, there was a few bits and pieces that allowed it to be used in a sort of hybrid environment, but I'm not so sure how many people have been made aware of that or even made use of it.
What are most people that you work with, Brett? What are they actually using it for? I mean, are they using it to create these external content types to bring that data into SharePoint? Are they using it for search? I mean, where is the real sweet spot for this?
Yep. So the sweet spots, as far as I'm concerned, you know, we've got a very large customer base because we have a tool that works with BCS as well. So we have, in fact, a couple of tools. One, BCS Metaman, which I think is the most well-known, is used to create an external content type as well as SharePoint Designer. But we can connect to hundreds of data sources depending on how you're going to connect to them. So if you're using something like ODBC or OData, I mean, obviously that opens it up to a lot of different external data sources that you can connect to. A lot of people are using the external list. There's many people that use that, but there's a lot of people that are frustrated using the external list as well, and looking for alternatives. So I think, you know, if Microsoft are looking to continue business connectivity services and build it out, I think there's certain gaps inside an external list that could certainly be filled. Those are, you know, If you take an ordinary SharePoint list, if you're familiar with you're working with the likes of task lists or contact lists and so on, you'll have things like the data sheet view, so you can manipulate multiple rows at the same time. You can obviously start workflows like approval workflows and things, and you've also got item permission levels which you can set permissions on each item inside an external list. And these are all features that are missing from SharePoint external lists. The workflow especially is something that people want. If the data changes, they want something to happen as a result of that data changing. And Microsoft did take steps to improve that back in 2013. If you remember back to SharePoint 2003 or 2007 days, you could create the event receiver. And the same sort of thing can be done with an external list as well. You can create like an event receiver that creates a notification should the data change at the data source level, and then you could have something fire based on that. But that means you're having to write a lot of code and so on and so forth. And also, it's something that cannot be done in SharePoint Online, obviously.
So one of the things that I remember most about playing with a BDC, I never messed with it much after they changed it to BCS, was just the complexity with using it. I mean, it was literally, if you wanted to use BCS or BDC, we told people to call Lightning Tools. We didn't even want to mess with it outside of your tool. I mean, so could that be part of the reasons for these other methods and them not investing any more into it? I mean, what is your thought process for why things are going the way they're going?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when the Business Data Catalog first came out, the whole reason why we formed our product, BDC Metaman, which pre-exists Lightning Tools, by the way. So BDC Metaman was actually a product before Lightning Tools was formed. With BDC Metaman, the reason why that was created was because there was no other tool in order to create your external content types. SharePoint Designer didn't exist and so on. So there were a couple of samples in the SDK, and you know, you could take those samples, open them up in Notepad or whatever you want, and start modifying it to suit your external content. Your external database.
It was a nightmare.
It was a nightmare, and you know, you go to import that, and the errors weren't very helpful. It was a case of no, that didn't work. So you'd go back to Notepad and carry on troubleshooting. So that's why we created the tool in the first place, and obviously that became quite a good selling tool. Mike Fitzmaurice, who was actually part of that team for Microsoft back in the day. He was also under pressure from people using SharePoint to develop a tool. So there was a product created that was made available through the SDK, and that almost became the competitor to BDC Metaman, but we did a much better job. So we still had a product for some time.
I do remember trying to configure it for the first time without BDC Metaman, and then it was just, I just gave up, right? And then you guys, I met Nick Swan at my very first MVP Summit, and he was like, oh, I've got this cool tool, BDC Metaman, that we're looking to go to market with. And I tried it out, and I was just, it blew me away that you guys made it at least more intuitive, right, to configure. And it would open the doors to people beyond just a hardcore developer that's going to have to sit and troubleshoot all this stuff into more of your power users, right, that can configure this stuff. And
Microsoft certainly did listen to that. They made it easier with the SDK tool. They eventually built it into SharePoint Designer so you could at least connect to SQL very easily. They made some improvements to Visual Studio, so if you were connecting to something other than SQL, then at least you had a head start in Visual Studio, and you could create the .NET assembly and so on to generate that. But yeah, you're right, that's not a power user project. It's more a developer project, even if you're using SharePoint Designer, because you know, not many power users are going to know the structure of the database that they're connecting to and know what stored procedures to call or what views, etc. It still kind of requires a developer to do all of that.
In the past, at least, hasn't really evolved much since SharePoint 2013. Do you think it's Microsoft has just, they've got a winning feature set and they're just not evolving it, you know, like there's it's not the only thing that's not evolving, right? So I think about the taxonomy stuff, and a lot of that stuff is kind of stuck in the same position it was in 2013, in SharePoint 2013. BCS is very much the same. Do you think it's not evolving because it is kind of that winning feature set and people are using it to the extent there's really nothing else you can add to it? Or what is the story? I mean, obviously you mentioned there's some capabilities specifically that people are looking for, but do you think it's worth investing in for a company like Microsoft?
Well, and to tag on to his question, since you actually have the tool for dealing with BCS, has, you know, maybe this is a little too personal a question, but have your sales also kind of indicated maybe where people are going with BCS and their embracing of it or looking at the other tools that are out there?
Okay, yeah, great. So, sales have certainly declined on BCS Metaman over the years. And I think that shows that not as many people are perhaps using business connectivity services, although our sales did drop dramatically when you could connect to Microsoft SQL through SharePoint Designer. there could be a lot of people still using BCS that Lightning Tools isn't aware of. They're just happy using SharePoint Designer connecting to their SQL databases. We do pick up a lot of people that want to use connections to Oracle or to Salesforce.com or something that's not very straightforward if you're thinking of connecting via, you know, Visual Studio and having to write the code yourself. So, covering Rob's question, as far as the feature set of business connectivity services is concerned, for me, there's nothing else that really replaces it. I mean, yes, okay, you've got Power BI, which is fantastic if you're wanting to build business data dashboards and, you know, build some charts and things like that on the external data. If you're wanting to build some forms, then, you know, Power Apps is kind of a weak contender at the moment in that space. But, you know, I'm sure that's probably going to improve over time, working with external connectors and so on as well. But there's nothing really that directly replaces business connectivity services. If you take, for example, the fact that you've got, you know, search, you can very easily index the data. Well, that's a great place for business users to go to the search center and search their external data as well as their SharePoint content. So they can do that via the search center. There's the ability to look up the data from, if you're inside a document library. I mean, if you're creating something like a proposal or something, and you want to look up the customer that the proposal is for as metadata and store that alongside the document, there's nothing that quite does the same there. And then you've also got the external list that allows for all of that, you know, creating of new items, editing items, deleting items, and so on as well. So it's not just about the business data dashboards. There's lots of other features with it, including also, sorry, user profiles. So so pulling in sort of secondary user profiles into SharePoint. I think the problem is that every single one of those things that I've mentioned has problems and has limitations. You know, we're coming up against thresholds of the external list of 5,000 items. Your indexing is slow by today's standards inside the search, and it's quite clunky if you want to do anything with the profile pages. When you click onto a search result, you know, compared to the rest of search nowadays, it looks really old-fashioned when you're looking at that profile page and seeing a very sort of SharePoint 2007 looking form that has the data coming from the external data source. There is no way, unless you use a forms tool like the Lightning Tools one or also Mark yours, where you can, you know, customize some of the forms that are using for external lists as well. So if you wanted to add any logic, so let's say you know, you're creating a new item and you want like an input mask or a validation control or something like that, your SharePoint designer is not there to help you. You have to go through and use a third-party tool to be able to customize those forms. The web parts are really dated. They haven't changed since 2007 days. There's great features. I just think, you know, because it's been ignored, it's no longer a good product. Whereas if they filled some of these issues with it, then it could well be a really good tool.
So,
I think from a like an enterprise perspective, right? I think search through the BCS and being able to search and index a SQL database as an example was probably my number one use for BCS. I mean, we use that a lot, and it's very handy. It's very, you know, it works very well. You know, it was not necessarily as easy to connect as I thought it was. I was hoping it would be, but we ended up getting it working, and it worked really well. My thing is here is I'm seeing a pretty major shift in the way we actually consume external data, right? And I think you brought up Power BI as an example here. And there's a lot of tools like that are coming and are available on the market that allow you to integrate with SharePoint Online or Microsoft Teams or things like that. That do allow you to do that external data analysis and bring that stuff into your experiences. You know, I think of something I've got going on right now at work, which is a combination of Power BI, Logic Apps, and Azure SQL to basically trigger off of webhooks that are coming off of an external application. It's sending me data, and then I'm storing that into a SQL database and then analyzing that with Power BI. Whereas before, I would probably, you know, my first thought would be, okay, I'll just use the BCS, I'll connect to that data source and pull it into SharePoint and do some, you know, some KPIs or metrics or whatever on that. I don't know that the BCS itself is changing or the need to interact with data is going away. I think the way we're interacting with data is really changing. And I think that's fundamentally for me, that's where I'm seeing it going, right? I mean, I automatically didn't look at BCS just by default as a solution when I said, I'm going to use Power BI, Logic Apps, and Azure SQL for this, just without question.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think one of the reasons for that is also moving to the cloud. So, you know, people are obviously using SharePoint Online now. And, you know, when they do have some of these legacy databases that they want to connect to, and we have a lot of people that, you know, you have to go and Google the the name of the database that they're using. It's some bizarre thing that, you know, even predates SharePoint in some respects that they're wanting to connect to. But yeah, there's a lot of people that connect to DB2 and, like I say, Oracle servers and things like that. That it's no longer straightforward because they're working with data that is on premises and trying to get that into the cloud. So at the very least, they're having to wrap, you know, some of that data in some form of service, whether it's an OData service or whatever to expose that to the web. And yet some people are even replicating the data with SQL Azure as well, just in order to get it to the cloud and make it easier to connect to.
That's a good point. And like with the mid-market, they really don't have that skill set in-house to be able to create that functionality, where before, if they had SharePoint on-premises, they didn't have to worry about that. So we do see that a lot, where people who are wanting to access their on-prem data from SharePoint Online, they're just not prepared for the infrastructure changes that may need to take place there.
Yeah, I think this, you know, it's gone full circle to one of our previous previous episodes, where we were talking about Rob, you having the skill set and the team to do some of this stuff. Where I think a lot of smaller organizations, like Mark says, that they don't have that skill set. Mm.
So, what advice would you give to people who are using BCS heavily today? Would you tell them to just continue forward? Would you have them change direction? Or what kind of advice would you give those people?
Well, I think it's, Microsoft haven't announced anything new, but they've also not announced anything that says it's going away. we're just seeing other technologies coming up to speed as well. So as with, how many years did InfoPath have, I guess, going back to
too many.
Again, a previous show.
Way too many.
Yeah. Way too many. But, I think if Microsoft were to no longer, if they were considering deprecating business connectivity services, then I think the tool is probably still going to be around for a long, long time. And who knows, they may take the step to also make the improvements that people are talking about. And I think at the moment it's probably too early to say whether you should or shouldn't consider continuing to use BCS.
Okay. Well, let me ask the question another way. Is there a scenario that people would historically use BCS for, but now, thanks to the new tools and new connectivity, there's a certain scenario where they should not look at BCS to perform a specific task?
I think Rob kind of covered that with the webhooks, if that's able to give them a lot more. And I think building dashboards and trying to do things analytically with external data, BCS was never that good at that anyway. you had to do a lot of hacking to the business data web parts. There wasn't really such a thing as a KPI or anything like that. You had to do that yourself using the object model. I think certainly business dashboards and analyzing the data, then I think Power BI is a much better story for that. Power Apps at the moment, they're focused on mobile devices. So I think, if you wanted to have users view an external data via a mobile device, then I think Power Apps is great for that sort of functionality. But there's still things that I don't see a direct replacement for, such as the external list and the search capabilities. And also, it was a really powerful thing to be able to look up the data as metadata as well inside a document library. That just makes the searching and finding this content a lot easier as well. So it goes back to whether you just want to view the data really, or whether you're looking to manipulate it.
Well, and I think Microsoft announced at Ignite that there's going to be, I think it's SharePoint 2019 coming on premises. I mean, the need for on-premises data and on-premises analysis of that data, no matter where it lives, is not going away, right? So I do think that BCS, I don't think it's a finite lifespan, but I don't think it's infinite. If that makes sense. So I think that, as more and more things get pushed to the cloud, obviously that possibly negates the need for BCS. As long as there's data on premises and there's a lot of content on premises, as long as it's easy to connect wherever you're in the cloud or your you know your SharePoint farm is you know is hosted locally, I still think there's a need for it, right? Because I mean, like you said, search people the ability to index and search a database where you know maybe it's a legacy database that's been around for years, it's in DB2 or it's in a SQL you know SQL farm or whatever. I think that the need for that is not going away. I mean, I would say if anything, it's going to get more critical that you can provide that capability around whatever you have because more and more things are going to the cloud, whereas some of that data may or may not be able to move.
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. And I think if anything, you know, again, that's an improvement that could be made. If you take some of the other technologies like Power BI and Power Apps, you know they've made it very easy to connect to a lot of other cloud and on-premises data sources. You've got things like the Data Management Gateway as an example. You can use that to connect to an on-premises SQL server or an on-premises Oracle server and expose data to Power Apps. You can't do that with BCS. You know, just incorporating that technology in business connectivity services would add a lot of life to BCS for quite a few years to come.
Let me ask you this. Would it be possible, and I don't know the answer to this, but would it be possible to create a connector for Power Apps or Logic Apps or whatever that would expose this data to BCS?
I think the answer at the moment is probably only if you're willing to write the code.
Well, I mean, so if you, could you, you know, I don't know. I'm pitching a product idea to you, man.
Yes, I get it. Yeah.
I mean, you know, would it be easier to kind of? I'm looking at this as kind of a if you can't beat them, join them, right? Kind of a thing is, mm-hmm. is the you know because clearly there's not been an investment in BCS in quite some time. But can you, for people that still want to use that, can you create a connector or something like that that's generic enough to where you could use it across data sources? I mean, I think that's probably an option worth taking a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think there probably is a way of connecting to it. I don't know for certain. One of the issues that we have is the fact that we're sat there with a Windows application for BCS MetaBrand at the moment. I'm not sure how maybe we need to shift our way of thinking going forwards as well. Mm. And make the tool sort of more of an online tool in order to connect to those.
I think about it, it's really, I mean, the way I'm seeing things, and again, I've been pretty heavy in the Power Apps / I've been using Azure Logic Apps, but it's really kind of a framework that you just wire all this stuff up together, right? To where it's, you know, you need some actions and you need some triggers and things to happen. And you basically just kind of wire this stuff up and you've got an application or a service built. I mean, there's no user experience or anything like that. This is more service style applications. Maybe that is the answer. I mean, I don't know. It could be the answer. It could be an answer.
It's certainly worth exploring.
Yeah. We're definitely exploring to take a look at that because I think that's the direction I'm seeing people or the industry as a whole, not just the Microsoft side or you know the Oracle side or whatever. But that's the way people are building applications in today's world. I mean, that's the expectation. And I think it's definitely something that should be looked into as either a product option or you know if you're a company out there maybe a point solution for a company.
Yeah, totally agree. I mean, what about you, Mark? I mean, in your industry, the small to medium organizations, do they what are they using to connect to external data?
Well. And again, you know, there's their needs typically don't, and their budget typically don't lend them to being able to develop the functionality needed to do what they want. And a lot of times, they don't. If they do have an on-premises SQL, they don't want to open that up to SharePoint Online and open up that port so that it's just open to the world. So they're looking for ways where they don't directly connect SQL to SharePoint Online, or and they don't have the people on staff to do something with Azure, and it's so it becomes kind of like, what is their real requirements? And actually, a tool that we find that a lot of companies like is a tool called Layer 2, and this is a tool by a company in Germany where it's, you know, fairly inexpensive. It's like $1,300, so it's, you know, it's I could not replicate the functionality of this tool for that same cost. But what it does is it allows a company to connect their SQL data and have it replicated to SharePoint lists. And that way, if they only need to move a subset of their data or work with a subset of their data, they can schedule a sync to happen with this tool so that data gets put into SharePoint so that they can then use it in SharePoint Online without having to go through any hoops at all to actually get to that data.
So one of the problems I've typically come across with that is probably more of a SharePoint on-premises problem nowadays, is the fact that that data, like you say, is being replicated into a SharePoint list, and therefore you're taking data that's already in your database and putting it inside the SharePoint content database. so you're getting a copy of that database again, if you like, and duplicating it.
Well, and that's true, but it depends on what you're using it for as well too. Like, maybe you're trying to do something to allow clients to log into your SharePoint site that's got external sharing turned on, and you want them to be able to order a subset of products. Well, you just want to say, well, here's my subset of products. Let me get it up into a SharePoint list so it's easy to work with within SharePoint Online, and I can do what I want to with it there. And maybe then I'm storing that order information someplace else. So yes, that data is duplicated, but it's not ever changing on the SharePoint side. It's just a way of easily getting it into those customers' hands without having to open up the world to your SQL server.
Yep. And that does overcome some of the issues that I mentioned earlier that you have in the external list of, you know, being able to trigger workflows, item permissions and things like that, because the data is actually inside a custom list. Effectively, it's not linked to, which is the same as BCS. So I think there's trade-offs, pros and cons for each.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, for the, like I said, for the price involved, for the technical ability required, it's a really low friction way of getting to that data that you may need to get to. But again, it's only for a subset of data. You would never want to do that with your entire data warehouse or something like that. So that's one of the big drawbacks of it. So you wouldn't want to sync that much data.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I guess the time will tell, and I think certainly from my point of view, I'd really like to see some major improvements around BCS or, you know, something that picks up some of that functionality. You know, it'd be great if Power Apps went beyond just the mobile devices, and you know, we saw some great ways of interacting with that external data through SharePoint Online and SharePoint on-premises as well.
Yeah,
and update those web parts too.
Yeah, absolutely. All right.
Well, I think we've hashed this topic out, guys. I mean, do you guys have anything else, Brett? Starting with Brett, do you have anything else you want to close with on this?
No, I don't think so. I think hopefully that's a great show. And yeah, if you have any questions around BCS, then I guess you can email us on the usual email addresses.
Yep, that's info@techsplaining.net.
Thank you.
And so I guess, Mark, if you don't have anything, we'll close out. And you know, thanks guys for the great discussion. I think it was worth having. I think a lot of folks have this same question. So this was a great timing on having this discussion. So if there's any other thoughts from our listeners, again, you can email us at info@techsplaining.net. And please let us know what you think and any topics you'd like to hear. We'd love to hear from our listeners. So thanks a lot. And we'll until next time, you're listening to TechSplaining.